UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Are you sure about that 6 p.m.? I think it's 4. I thought I saw an email earlier from Kenny Klein that the tip UNC time has been announced.
UNC?
Yes, I think it's 4.
I have you written down it's 6. I did get that information secondhand. If it is wrong, I do not want to out who I got it from. But I wrote down 6 p.m. From said
there's a chance
source.
I'm going to drop off here. There's a chance I'm going to drop here because in order for me to check, I'm going to have to go to a website that is might kick me off the show here. But if we do, it's a small price to pay.
Well, that's always
because
exciting.
We want to be factually correct here.
While you're looking up
on
that,
the D show. So
I want to remind people that you might be in the ATL. And there's some great stuff there. You could go to the Varsity, get some nice peaches, which would be, I believe, Vitality friendly. Whole bunch of great stuff in the ATL. But we're pretty stoked here at ESPN Louisville because Jason and his team brought by some delicious Witch to the ESPN Louisville studios today. They have two great locations, one at Old Brownsboro Crossing or at 221 South Firstborn Parkway. Try the ESPN special Large Witch for just $6.80. Can cater for the office, order for the family, or just grab a quick lunch order online today at witchwitch.com or download the app Witch Superior Sandwiches. I had a Rubik for my lunch as I dropped my phone. If you take the bread off, it's a little bit, I think it's vitality friendly, actually. Yeah, it is. So a little cabbage, little corned beef, fabulous.
All right. Well, I can't find this email now, of course, ridiculously. Why does life have to be so darned difficult?
Well, while you're there, there is a, I did send you a read that you might need to do later. Just wanted to make sure you got it. Yeah. WDRB's Eric Crawford's going to join the show in a second. Before we get him on, and it's definitely something to get a thought from him about, but the idea of Vince Morrow going to Michigan State, do you have any...
This is my thought, that it is, this is what football coaches do. I know it's going to drive the UK people nuts, and I understand the value to the staff, and I understand the recruiting prowess, but if you go look at a football press guy, I'm amazed at that. I am amazed at that. They don't stay in a position usually for more than 2 years, all of them. And you think I'm exaggerating, go take a press guide of coaches and assistant coaches, not necessarily head coaches. I mean, head coach gets a job that he likes, he stays. But the assistant coaches, I don't care how, you know, what they're paying them, $625, whatever it is. The fact of the matter is, it is the most volatile industry that in sports I've ever seen. They all move, and they all move frequently. And here it is, by the way. North Carolina game will start at 4 p.m. and be televised on ESPN.
Well, disregard that.
Disregard what I just said?
No, disregard what I said in the Sports Center. I said that it was tipping at 6 p.m.
Well, why do you take information secondhand? You know nobody at the station knows anything about anything. I mean, why do we do that?
Well, because I trust too easily, and I'm too lazy to look it up on my own.
All right. Well, there you go. But anyway, I mean, so yeah. If he goes, there will be the smattering of fans. Why would you want to leave Kentucky for Michigan State? Oh my God! Because you're fans. You know, I mean, so and it's easy. I don't have the money. So if you think he's that important and they want to pay him $1 million, Kentucky wants to pay him $1 million. I really don't care. It's not my money. But if they don't and he moves, to act like it's the sky is falling is kind of crazy to me, because this is what football coaches do. I swear to you. Look, go online, pick a big time coordinator anywhere and look at their resume on Wikipedia. They change jobs like people change socks. All of them. It's the most and if they don't change, they have to create, like, you know, semi-bogus promotions within the same program, because you can't just stay in one position. It must in football be perceived as failure of some sort if you don't every year move somewhere. So a guy will go from, you know, I don't know, he's a coordinator to now he's the associate head coach to now he's the – or he's the assistant head coach to the associate head coach and director of – they just add titles if they keep guys there, and then, but inevitably they leave anyway. So my thought on that is, I don't know, it's not happening for sure, right? I mean, I read the same thing you did. They didn't say it happened. The speculation is they're going to offer him up. They went after him, and then they upped the
The speculation
is $1 million.
Maybe. $1 million, but that's like coming like the university is getting behind it, and currently he's making $625,000 at UK. So you gotta wonder if, I mean, how much they're gonna counter that with. And there's all this stuff going on. Michigan State released, you know, the photo, you know, welcome Coach Mel Tucker, and Vince Marrow liked it, and everyone's losing their minds about it. But they are friends. And so you got to think that, okay, maybe, you know, he's just happy for his friend, but also because they're friends, then, you know, Mel is also kind of in his ear about trying to bring him up there. So,
I wish I had enough time to worry. Think about that. If a friend of mine got a job in the business that was a good job, I'd say like too. I mean, what? That doesn't mean he's not going with him, but it doesn't mean he is. I mean,
no, it's speculative.
It's unbelievable.
Because if you like that, your friend Gary got like a lifetime contract at Francis Marion, and you liked it, no one's going to lose their spit over it because there's no news that Francis Marion is offering you an assistant position. So I do think that it's one of those things what people might be, you know, losing their mind a little early, but there might be some meat on the bone. We do that feature.
There is meat on the bone. There's no question they're going after him. But A, coaches all leave, and B, to read into the like. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just,
no, that's what I'm saying. The like is the like. Is there any meat on the bone with the like? Is what I'm saying. I mean, there's definitely meat on the bone with the possibility of him going there. I mean, they're offering him almost double a salary to head up there. So there's definitely meat on the bone there. It's just that I wonder how much meat on the bone is just with the like. I don't know. I feel like, you know, that's the day
the
and
like,
age where
that's what I'm saying. I can't believe I'm a 60-some-odd-year-old man discussing a like on a social.
That's literally what I was just about to say. I can't believe
it's
the times.
It's five exits. I mean, it means he's his friend. Now, because he's his friend, does that mean it's possible he could go there? Sure. But you didn't need a like on the social media to establish that. They're friends. I mean, it's the same way with the people I've talked about. I went to college with. You don't need me to put a social media like on something to... I don't get it. I just don't get it. But whatever. So could he go? Yes. Is he definitely going? I don't know. We don't know. You don't know. I guess if he wants to stay and Kentucky wants to match that amount of money, it's their money. It's their choice. They can do what they want. But all I'm saying is it's not like earth-shattering news that an assistant coach would go to another program as an assistant coach. If you made that earth-shattering news, you'd have time to talk about nothing else in your life, not even your family. Because take a look at what goes on for all these coaches everywhere. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just an observation. I mentioned it before. I mean, sometimes I'll see a guy and I'll say, oh, let's go. I mean, go look at guys before they become head coaches. Go look at their resumes. Go look at their resumes. They don't stay more than 2 years anyplace. They're going there somewhere. They're bouncing up the ladder. They're going somewhere else. And that's the, I don't know, it's a volatile business. So, you know, whatever happens will happen. We'll see. And if it happens, whatever happens, we'll tell you about it. The definitive decision to stay, the definitive decision to go, we'll report it. But, my God, the social media thing, talk about man, it's just. I mean, people don't have hobbies anymore. Do they not make things? Do you not work with wood? Do you not loom knit? Do you not invent games? Are you in a bowling league? I mean, I don't know. It's just, you're not playing a men's hockey league. I mean, it's just, any of those things would be better than discussing social media that has absolutely no bearing on what's going on, other than establishing what we already know, that the guy is friends with the new coach at Michigan State. Oh, well. Coaches do have friends with other programs. You know, I forget who we were talking to the other day. Oh, man, who was it? One of the coaches, I guess it was Cal. Was it Cal talking about it? I think it was Cal, maybe. Was it Cal talking about Rick Barnes? I think it was. He was talking about how they speak all the time, but both of them were reluctant to let that go out because the fans lose their minds and think, oh, my God. And I remember Joe Torre and Terry Francona, when Joe Torre was managing the Yankees and Tito was managing the Red Sox, they talked once a week. They're both Italian-Americans. They both played in the major leagues. They both are in very high-profile jobs. It's fun sometimes to talk to a guy that can relate to what you're going through. And they would visit once a week, but they didn't want anybody to know either because, oh, my God, you're talking to that guy. I mean, I don't know what fans think, that you have to hate them to want to beat them. I'm not sure. But, they have friends that are in other programs sometimes. That's the breaking news, I guess. I don't know. I'm sorry to be that way, but it just amazes me that people lose their minds over stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that are worthy to lose your mind over. That doesn't seem to be one of them. What are we doing for guests? So we have guests today. What do we have today?
Yeah. I'm efforting Eric Crawford. He said he'd be able to join about 1:30. So I'm giving him a follow-up buzz here. Then coming up at 2, it'll be John Clay, who can talk a little bit more about this Vince Marrow situation and also break down last night's come-from-behind win for the UK Wildcats on the road against Vanderbilt. We also have a little bit of Cal sound, a little bit of Mac sound, some DeCourcy sound, a whole bunch of goodies. So, yeah, all that's coming up. And it's also on Wednesday, so people need
to... Yeah, well, I didn't bring much to the table there. I apologize for that. So we need people to help us here. And you have to read them because you're in the studio. I'm on the road. But we want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday. We need good factoids. We need very, very good factoids.
And, we want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday.
I can tell you this. Here's a good factoid for you. The Debbie Antonelli, do you know who she is? She is an analyst for the ACC Network. She did the Louisville game recently at KFC Yum Center, and she does some men's games also. She was a fine player back in her day. I think she played at NC State for KU. They are raising money. With the KU Fund is kind of a branch of the V Foundation. They're an arm of the V Foundation, but they do their own. I think they have their own board, and they do their own fundraising, and it's all for cancer research. Of course, KU lost her life to cancer as well. And my brother, they were very close, Kay and my brother. It was very cool, very, very cool to see that. I was so proud of that.
We have Eric Crawford.
With the men's coach and the women's coach don't get along. But they raised money, and she did a 24-hour free throw-a-thon. She shot for 24 straight hours.
Holy
she said
crap.
She said she couldn't lift her arm the next day. But and she made like 82% or something. But we need to get her on and talk about that. Yeah, she raised a lot of money, so that's really cool. I thought that was very, very cool. She's a good person. So, anyway, all right. Eric Crawford joins us right now from WDRB. Hello, Eric Crawford from WDRB.
Mr. Valvano, how are you?
You're not. Are you in Hotlanta, or are you still back in the Ville?
No, I wanted to come to Hotlanta, but circumstances conspired against me. I was in Nashville last night.
Well, there you go.
So, I'm bleary-eyed. I'm driving. I'm in the parking lot of Murphy's Cameron. I'm cutting the lens that I used. I'm all over the place, and I told Nick, you guys are talking on the radio, and I'm just listening along, not noticing the phone's buzzing next to me. So I'm really, anything could happen today.
I'm glad we enraptured you with our conversation. You know what's interesting?
I was sucked in.
I have a couple of questions for you that before we get to the meat of it. This is the appetizer course. As many people who see you at the arena know, you're shooting a lot of the video and pictures yourself. Were you a camera guy before you started doing this? Like, you're talking about buying a lens. Did you know anything about photography before you started doing what you're doing now?
No, I didn't. I just kind of realized that, you know, I needed something visual, you know, to go with the stories. And I just started taking a few pictures to go with each story. And, you know, the phone wasn't good enough, so I got it like a beginner camera and a cheap lens. And from there, it's kind of grown into this, where I'm taking a lot of pictures and trying to do it that way. It's really probably foolish to try and do all that stuff, but I'm having fun with it.
Is there, I mean, how much more can you do with a good camera than with a good camera phone?
Oh, a lot. Oh, my gosh. And the better the camera, the better your pictures. I mean, it's not quite as simple as that. They're, you know, the pros are doing great stuff. I'm just kind of an amateur, but you can get a lot closer, get a lot clearer, stop a lot of action. There's really no comparison between a good camera and even the best camera phone, but you can take amazing stuff with these camera phones now too. Just takes a little planning.
All right, here's my other non-sports related question. I'm here at the Peachtree Westin, and if I look out my window, I not only can see the Mercedes-Benz dome in the distance, but even closer than that is a giant Ferris wheel. Are you a roller coaster or a Ferris wheel guy, or both, or neither?
I like the roller coaster better. I mean, I don't have a problem with Ferris wheels, but I'm just more of a roller coaster guy. I'd rather get up and get down instead of get up and sit there and wait for 5 minutes for the guy to get off and inch my way down. I guess that means I'm impatient.
I guess. I don't like the drop of the roller coaster. I'm not a fan of that. I like I'm more of a, the height doesn't bother me, so the genteel nature of the roller coaster, I'm much more of a fan of.
I'm
Ferris wheel.
I'm going to plunge to my death. I'm going to plunge to my death. Let's get it over with. Let's go.
That's a different approach. I never thought of it in those terms. I thought it was just a 3-4 minute amusement. I didn't think I was putting my life on the line there. But all right, that's a different way.
You gotta weigh all the possibilities. Yeah,
I guess you do. That's what makes a good reporter. Eric Crawford from WDRB is with us. You wrote, and I really wanted to ask you about this. You wrote at the end of this year, is this going to be the year where college basketball is remembered for the officiating? Is that going to be the overriding story? And my question to you is, I'm not, again, saying they're good or bad or anything in between. I'm just wondering, if that's the case, why is that the case? Is it that they're worse officials now than we've had in the game before? Or it's just a thing that we just kill them after every game, social media and all of that? Why would this be the year of the official more so than other years? Has the officiating gotten worse? What do you think?
Well, no, but I think, there's a lot of factors. I think replay definitely plays into it. We saw it last year with Virginia and some of the things that happened in their games, and double dribbles and whatever. So I think usually what happens is you have a few controversies during the year, but you have a lot more storylines. This year, I think there are fewer compelling storylines that everybody's watching, and I think that instead of a few incidents, it's like we have one every week. And they're in some very visible games. I mean, you come away scratching your head. It's just Duke, North Carolina. You're looking at calls. There's a bump at the end of the game, a hip bump, and you're like, what? That was a foul, not a travel, or not. It should have been a turnover. He got bumped into, but it's every week. So I think in the absence of something else to talk about, and maybe the tournament will give us something else to talk about, and it'll all be great, but. I think it's more of a topic now than I can remember it, and it's always been a topic, and it's always going to be a topic because refs are always going to miss calls. They always have. That's part of the game, just the same way turnovers and missed free throws are. It just happens, but seems to be a little bit different this year, the feeling around it I get from people.
See, this is not aimed at you, and I'm being all serious, this, of course. I really am. But I think it's because people are lazy. It's harder to cover college basketball this year because you've got to do work. You've got to talk about San Diego State. 90% of the people covering college basketball probably can't name a player on San Diego State. And you got to talk about Dayton. And you better talk about Penn State, of all people. Penn State and Maryland in the Big Ten. That's a lot of work. It's easier when you can just talk about Duke and Carolina, and they played a million games, and they're separated by one basket, and you got Zion Williamson, and you got Cal with his colorful quotes. And so because of that, I think people say, well, there's nothing of interest here. I think it's a fascinating year in college basketball. I just think it takes a little work to report it more than it has in other years past.
Well, and not only that, and you're onto something with that. I don't disagree with that. There's also the question of interest, and we've in the media, you know, is now everybody. It used to be just TV that went after the ratings. Now it's everybody that's going after the ratings because it's how many engagements can I get on this social media post? How many web hits? And you can probably get more writing about officiating than you can writing about Dayton or Penn State or even with big fan bases. So there is that element of, you know, you're going to, it used to be news, the news organizations would kind of look at what the news was and try and report what the news was and almost dictate what was important in some ways. Now they look at what everybody's talking about on social media and you go there. So now it's the people dictating what news is instead of the news directors. And there is a balance to be played with that. And I think the balance is tipped in the favor of the you know, just chasing where the numbers are.
I remember a group, you're old enough to remember them probably. It was a group in the 70s when disco exploded on the scene, and they were called Chic. Remember them? They called Chic. They did a song called Freak Out, and they you know, they were big for a while. And I give the man who was one of the guys who was the I don't know if he's a lead singer, but he was in the group anyway. And they asked him about disco, and they asked him about, you know, doing disco now. And he said, we're doing disco now because it's the big thing. If tomorrow country music were the big thing, we'd be on stage all wearing cowboy hats. So yeah. that's what you're talking about covering the game. If the fans suddenly took an interest, I don't know, in there's a raging debate about point guards in the country, every news service would be talking about point guards.
Yeah, I get occasionally emails, hey, such and such is blowing up on Twitter. How come we don't have a story about it? I scream rhetorically into my phone without answering the email because I don't care what's going on on Twitter.
Right.
And then I call the follower and they have to replace it, and it's a mess. So that's where we are.
Talking to Eric Crawford from WDRB, just told us earlier he was in Nashville. It was not to enjoy the many venues with live music. It was there to see the Kentucky Wildcats win a game impressively in the second half. Wide open question here. Give me your, it's not even a question, it's more of a statement. Give me your takeaways from last night's victory.
Well, you know, your takeaways are only as good as the next game, which I don't know what, you know, what any single game means anymore. We need to see teams perform over a stretch. Tyrese Maxey is really good. Ashton Higgins is always really good. The big men are solid. And Kentucky is in among those handful of you know, however many teams you want to put in the class that has all the pieces that if they get hot in March, they could be the one, you know, the last one standing. They have those pieces. They've got that kind of talent. They need some others to come along, and they need to shoot the ball well and do some things like that. They have flaws just like all the others, but they're playing better. And that was a really solid second half, and it wasn't just a terrible first half because Vanderbilt hit just everything it threw up. And while Kentucky did turn up its defensive intensity in the second half, you know, it didn't let Vanderbilt run away, even though it was making a lot of threes. So solid win, you know, for Kentucky. And there's a value to games like that. And Louisville's playing a lot of games in this stretch right now where it gets you a chance to just kind of develop your guys and develop, you know, your team without the constant pressure of getting your butt kicked like you would get if you were in the Big Ten or something. And, you know, there's always a possibility of losing, but you're not playing a top 20, 30 team every night. I think that helps Kentucky, and I think it's helped Louisville this year.
What do you make of Cal after the game kind of saying that Maxey showed a toughness he hasn't shown before? I mean, he came up big in the very first game of the season when they needed him. He really led them to the win in the Champions Classic. And, you know, it's not like the big games have overwhelmed him. What did you take away from him talking about his toughness? In what way did you see significance in that statement?
I think it's kind of a mention that Maxey finally kind of understands what's on the line, that he's just been a freshman out there doing his thing for a while. And in this, he responded to the situation. And the other thing he said about Maxey, he said sometimes he'll stick his nose in to, you know, clumps of players, but he's basically just in there to be in there. He's not really in there to be the guy that comes away with the ball. And he thought last night, he thought the first time he waded into some situations intending to be the guy that came with the ball and, in fact, grabbing some rebounds that way. So I think that's kind of what he meant about toughness. It was about responding to the situation and that kind of thing. So it's a fairly nuanced statement, but he probably has a pretty good feel for Maxie in that sense.
Talking to Eric Crawford, WDRB, our regular guest. Always a pleasure to welcome him to the program. We have a situation brewing. It is not breaking news. What do they call it when the thing is still going on? A developing story. Thank you. A developing story. Thank you, Nick. Vince Morrow may be going to Michigan State. Supposedly they're willing to pay him $1 million a year. Kentucky at $625 million. He's been a very important assistant on Coach Stoops' staff, but as I've said before, football coaches, I mean, go look across the board. Most of them that are assistants leave like every 2 years. They move somewhere else. That's the nature of the beast. So you think it's going to happen? What's the significance of it does? What's your observation of that developing story?
Well, it's significant if it does, but, you know, and this may be geography bias or something, I don't think Michigan State's a better job right now than what he has at Kentucky, except for the money, which can be fixed. I think Kentucky will come up with the money to keep him. But I don't, you know, Michigan State's got some problems. Their university image right now, they're still, you know, coming out from under the whole cloud of the scandal that they had up there with the gymnastics coach and the other things that happened, and football is part of that. So I don't know why you would leave. He's got a young defense back. He's in a recruiting groove at Kentucky. If Kentucky pays him, matches or betters what Michigan State is willing to pay him, and they should, and it's not that, I mean, it's unreasonable that a defensive coordinator make $1 million a year, but Louisville paid Grantham $1 million, I think, close to it. So if Kentucky will pay him, I don't see why in the world you would go to Michigan State right now, given what you've built and are continuing to build at Kentucky.
In some ways, wouldn't you agree, that may be the main storyline. Not necessarily like, you know, the program will fall apart or anything like that, but from a Kentucky fan base that knows they're in the SEC and is constantly being told, hey, we're making the same commitment, you know, and they've put money in facilities and everything else. If this guy leaves literally, I would sound like, just for money, unless he's that close with the new coach there, and I know they're friends, but I certainly think he gets along well with Mark Stoops. Doesn't look like there's a personality conflict there. He would go then essentially just because Kentucky didn't want to up the ante by about $350,000, $400,000. If you're a fan, I imagine if you're Kentucky, that puts a little heat on you because your fans are going to say, oh, well, I thought, where's this real commitment we said we had? Because other schools are paying their coordinators $1 million. I mean, Louisville paid some that weren't very good a lot of money, to be honest with you. And so that's a big deal, I would think, from a perception standpoint with your fan base. How big a storyline is that in your mind?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we don't know how big this quote-unquote friendship, you know, between the coaches will go as far as what's going on at Michigan State. But, gosh, you know, you've got to look at this. I mean, Mark Stoops is going to stay at Kentucky. He's set up. He's set up to have winning records. He's got the roster set up. I mean, they're doing well. He just coached Defensive Player of the Year season before last in Kentucky. It's got, you know, friendship is important, but you can be friends over the phone. You know, you can have friends all over the country. You got to look at the stability of your job. And Vince Merrill, with what he's doing in Kentucky, he can get a head coaching job behind the job he's doing in Lexington right now. I think it's a risk if he goes. I mean, I know it's a lot of money, but I think, you know, but he can get the money at Kentucky, and I think he can do it without some of the risk that's involved in a move to East Lansing right now.
But you talk about Vince Maurer getting a head coaching job. They've done a really good job at Kentucky. They've done a really good job recruiting. They've done a good job with their defense. He hasn't gotten a head coaching job. I don't know if he's turned jobs down or what. But with the thought being that I can't do a whole hell of a lot more than I've done here, if I go there and get that program straightened out, I might be very desirable as a head coach. Could that be part of the thought process?
It is, but look, I mean, they can do more than they've done at Kentucky. I mean, they've done a lot, but they've, you know, basically gone to whatever that bowl was, Citrus Bowl, and beat Penn State. They haven't won an SEC divisional championship. They've gone to the SEC championship game, and those are things that ought to be on this program's radar now, given the talent that they've built and the way they've recruited and the fact that, you know, Florida's not head and shoulders above everybody, and Georgia you know, you can get Georgia in your good years. And, you know, so there still are some things left to do at Kentucky. And the Big Ten, I'm going to tell you, is probably not a heck of a lot easier to get yourself established to go from zero up to the top than what Kentucky is facing right now from where they are to where they're trying to get.
Yeah, there's and Penn State's a basketball school now, you know, so that's not that significant.
That's true. Yeah, you're right about it.
Hey, travel safe, my friend. I'll see you back in Louisville. Take care of yourself. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
Eric Crawford with us from WDRB. Reminder, we are brought to you by our friends at Universal Windows Direct. Buy one, get one free. No limit on the number of windows that you can get in this free offer. Free installation and great professional, conscientious. These are people who take what they do very seriously, so you don't have to worry about a substandard job. The windows could be great, but if the installation's bad, you have achieved nothing. Well, these are great windows and terrific installers who care about what they do and do a great job. And the deal you'll get is second to none. Buy one, get one free. They have very attractive financing offer terms. They also have a guarantee that is second to none. That these windows are warranted for as long as you own your home and 30 years to the next homeowner. That is a company that stands behind their products. So, and they have super spacer technology around the edges of the window, keeps the seals longer. A lot of other windows use metal spacers that break down over time. These do not, and they last and last and make your home comfortable in winter, summer, and all the seasons in between. So don't wait. Get rid of those builder-grade windows that you got at the start and make your home more energy efficient, more comfortable, and frankly, more attractive. They look great, and they are well-built, and they have a great, great offer as we for you to make your windows, make your house absolutely sparkle. So give them a call. Remember the name, Windows Direct. There's a lot of window companies out there badgering you with information. Go to the best. Go to Universal Windows Direct, and like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a short break here, and then we're going to roll on with the last hour coming to you from Atlanta on ESPN 680 1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.